Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Dr. Amit Goswami right here on Coast to Coast AM. What about negativity? How does that fit into all of this, Doctor?
Well, actually, you know, this is a very good subject to speak about. Negativity takes us away from wholeness, God, quantum consciousness.
Yes.
So negativity we need to avoid. However, at the same time, you have to remember some of these negative emotional brain circuits are built into us. We are born with them. So although we need to avoid them, short of living in the Himalayas or top of the Andes, we cannot avoid them. In relationship, they constantly come up because egos will clash. So the question is not of negativity and avoiding them, but the question is how to transcend them. Negativity will exist in us, but how to balance them. We balance it with positivity. But there also, it's not as simple as just, well, be positive. It's not a question of thinking, because we cannot be positive just by thinking it. We have to creatively emote positive emotions and then do it in actions, and then brain circuits develop in our brain, which corresponds to these positive emotional thoughts. And that's what balances negative emotion. So a thought of violence comes, and immediately also a thought of love come at the same instance. So the brain, instead of going into the negative emotional brain circuit, it flips back into that positive emotional circuit. And then I'm not feeling violence anymore, and then I can control my violent behavior. So in this way, we are now finding out. This is still beginning of an exploration. We need to know much more. But we have the rudiments at our hand, how to be emotionally intelligent, not be violent, which has escaped humanity. You know, we have been trying to be nonviolent for ages, millennia. But finally, we at least understand what we need to do. Can we do it? But I think we can pretty soon, maybe in decades.
I think so, too. And I have long believed that if people are negative, it comes back and haunts them, maybe 10 times as bad.
Absolutely. And then we augment these brain circuits. You know, they become only stronger and stronger. The more negative we become, the more negative it becomes, because the brain circuits are even more strong. So only way to do it is to take a program which will both have less signals, less stimuli, so that we get only a modicum of this negativity in our life. And then we at the same time also start developing positivity, make brain circuits of this kind. So with this kind of a planned program, we can deal with it. And people who have pathological cases of negativity, then we need to do even more detailed programs which will help them. So in all cases, I think we already have enough knowledge to help people who have chronic negativity problems.
All right, back to the phones we go. We'll go to Pocatello, Idaho. Paul is here, west of the Rockies. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
Dr. Swami, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Interesting discussion. You hit on a point that really caught my attention. That was faith-based economics, faith, hope, and charity. And you know, I didn't know if you're familiar with, and I wanted to ask you about that, a gentleman named Glenn Beck, who has been ardently practicing that concept of late in small communities, devastated here in the U.S. by economic problems.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did it seem to dispel negativity, but it had a huge uplifting effect for these communities. But it was strictly a faith-based economic approach.
Yeah,
I wondered if you were familiar with that.
I attend Glenn Beck's show quite regularly, surprising as it may be, because, you know, when ordinarily people think of me, they think of me as a liberal person. I do vote Democrat, but yes, Glenn Beck is has a very value-based view. So although some of his views I couldn't agree less, but he indeed has a solid grounding on values. And so what you are talking about does not surprise me at all. You know, this is one thing that we need to do. We need to include. We don't need to polarize anymore that, okay, we have put a label on Glenn Beck. He's conservative. He's Republican supporter. He's Fox News. So, you know, I reject and this is this, and therefore I accept. We don't need that anymore. We need to integrate. We need to realize that people who are in the forefront of knowledge, they often have some substance. And I'm delighted that you're pointing out such a substantial contribution that Glenn Beck is making.
How would other people react to this around the planet? Are they all trying to do the best thing?
I think that on the whole, people try to do the best thing. Of course, you know, you cannot go much beyond the way we grow up. Today, we are growing up with materialism rampant in our schools, in our educational system. So today's kids are a little more narcissistic than they used to be. And this narcissism is a problem. Selfishness is a problem. So we have to deal with that. But even so, these intuitions come. These intuitions about values, that it is important to be good, it is important to love, it's important to be just. These intuitions come. If we can then educationally supplement these intuitions, and this is where, you know, mainstream media has no value today. You know, they're very, very, very permissive and, you know, negative and all that. But look at the internet. Look at this show that we are doing right now, you know, and many people are watching it in the internet, listening to it in the internet. And so what has happened? Movement of consciousness has created, you know, at the same time that mainstream media has given up on positivity, the internet has been created, which is giving us back our freedom and our positivity and openness and all this. This is tremendous.
All right, next up we go to Toronto, Canada. Hey, Marie, go ahead on the international line.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Swami.
Hi.
You know, I'm a quantum activist in every sense of the word, as you have described it.
Wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. I wrote an 800-page book talking about, you know, the spiritual and the reality part of it. The Canadian government sold it when I sent it to New York. I have done everything I can to get the word out. I've stood at high schools with a statement of myself and my friend of being tortured through electronics. I've been poisoned. I'm not allowed to use the internet, believe it or not. I'm followed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every phone I use is monitored, even including in plazas, wherever. I've gone to the police, to the government, and not one person will help me, and not one media will give me a voice.
Why?
Including your show, George.
Why? What do you mean? You don't think you have a voice right now?
No, I could do 2 hours.
Well, no, I don't want you to do 2 hours. No, I don't want to hear 2 hours of your situation.
But you are getting a forum right now, right? And so that this show is free of all the prejudices that you're talking about. The prejudice of the mainstream media is very real. I won't deny that. But this is why we need activism. We need to really bring that activistic energy to make these changes. It's not going to come easy. It's not that, you know, we have proven this scientifically, we have new data, and it's showing non-locality, and therefore God is there. What are you going to do about it? You know, we can become excited like that, but then we have to boil down to nitty-gritty. Have I changed? You know, this is why quantum activism comes with a personal contribution. Don't become paranoid just because people are persecuting you. The point is that it's all consciousness. The opposite side, the negative people, the people that are cynical, they're also part of consciousness. So our thinking must include them also. And then we ask the question, okay, so what can we do to change things regardless that these people exist and this kind of prejudice exists and so forth? Martin Luther King did not say that, okay, there's just too much prejudice, too much persecution, so I won't do it. He went to Selma anyway. He went to do what he did anyway. And same with Gandhi, same with Nelson Mandela. This is what quantum activists do. And these are quantum activists, the best of them. So, you know, you have to follow that track and not be demoralized, okay? There are people like you. And George is one, I am one, two you are talking to, right?
I'm a little baffled how she says she can't get on my show to talk when she's on my show telling me that.
No, that's a temporary paradox that always hits us. You know, when we get persecuted too much, when we are denied too much of our rights, then we begin to feel a little paranoid.
Well, apparently, that's right. You hear footsteps all over the place,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Let's go to Minneapolis. Jason, first time caller. Hi, Jason. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
My question was for Swami. I was wondering about the age of Aquarius having to do with 2012. Have you given any insight possibly thinking about that?
Well, we talked about 2012 just a moment ago. Maybe you missed it. In my view, 2012 is a metaphor. It should not be taken literally. It's 2012. Will changes come next year? I doubt it. I don't think it. In fact,
of course, if it does, I'll pull you back on.
So, you know, it just has to be taken metaphorically.
Next up, we go to Tampa, Florida. Hey, Ray, go ahead.
How you doing? I just have to say, you are fantastic, doctor. To hear you with this positive approach to the way we should behave and the way we have to. I was on the Gulf of Mexico on my friend's boat this year, and I rediscovered my happiness and positive feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, just seeing the sun on the water like stars. But the only thing is I'm a romantic. And you said that we fall in love and then fall out of it? No, I don't think that ever happens. But I just want to say you're wonderful.
if you stay positive, it will never happen to you. That also I guarantee. What happens to most of us, though, that we sometimes fall into this negativity that is built into us in form of this instinctual negative emotional brain circuits. So some of us do fall prey to negativity. And then those of us who don't, we can learn to be kind. We can learn to be non-judgmental because these are very innate problems of humanity. So, you know, we shouldn't close our heart to people just because they're falling prey to something that they cannot help themselves. And so, you know, the existence of negative emotion and this kind of evil should make you humble and not be judgmental.
And you've created a Center for Quantum Activism. Tell me about all of that.
Well, it is really just a name. You know, we call it a center because we like it to grow, but it's really an internet, more functioning on the internet. We have a very good couple of filmmakers, who one of them is also an internet expert, Reese Stewart. And so we are creating really an internet educational system where we teach people with books and tapes and videos and movies, documentaries to how to live in this new quantum activistic way, what changes we need to make. But we are not a big organization, so and we don't have any plan to make it big except on the internet. In the internet, we are big, and we want to become bigger.
Good. Now, you sent a couple letters to President Obama. What were they all about?
Well, they were about what, you know, they were written a couple of years ago. Of course, the book is coming out now, but I think they are as relevant today as then. And I'm very happy that President Obama has initiated some of the things that needed to be done, but more needs to be done. And the primary one among them, which I think I have pointed out and I'll still point out, and hopefully somebody will pass it on to President Obama, which is that we really need to look at scientific materialism. We can really see that it is an incomplete philosophy. We can really see that the data is already ruling it out. And it just does not make sense to have so much faith into a failed philosophy. That's how we're becoming a failed state of America, as Noam Chomsky calls America today. We can change, real change, as President Obama promised us when he was a candidate, cannot come in these mild incremental changes that he has made. It's a good step. I agree. I'm totally a supporter of what he has accomplished, and it's wonderful. But he has to also contribute to the changes of worldview that is coming anyway. And I hope that he will, for example, you know, in Clinton's time, we opened up the Office of Medical Research to Alternative Medicine. So I expect that Obama will do more in that vein, open up National Science Foundation to include alternative science, that will include parapsychological research, that will include research in quantum consciousness, research in the integration of science and spirituality. This is something that government really can do, because the private enterprise just is not available for working on very far out ideas. You know, according to prevalent wisdom, our ideas are far out. There is no denying it. But unless research money is spent on that, how will paradigm ever change? So a major part of quantum activism should be directed on the government. And that is the purpose of those letters.
What do you think of CERN as a search for the God particle?
Well, many people think, and I actually agree with them, that CERN is the biggest boondoggle that has ever happened in the history of scientific investigation. This machine should not have been built, because the theory itself that these scientists have built is showing that at these energies, nothing much will come out. It's very, very iffy. You know, they call this, they look for the six bosons, and they call it even God particle, glorious name, sounds wonderful. But at these energies, they probably will not show up. And even if they showed up, what have they proven? Because theoretically, it must exist. Otherwise, the whole theory falls apart. So I don't disbelieve in his Higgs boson, and you don't have to even show it to me. But the point that I make, and others are making too, what good does it do? Knowledge of these six particles or any of the things that high energy physics tries to do, except there are a few good things in it still, most of those things do not have any relevance today in how we should live, how to solve these crisis problems that are haunting us. So at this time, we should not really waste our research money for these big money projects like the CERN machine.
You would think it's a waste of money.
At this time.
Yeah.
There may be a future time of so much prosperity that we can go back to it and do it again. At a future time, maybe these questions of extraterrestrial travel will be solved and we can do it again. But this is not the time. We have such pressing problem to throw away billions of dollars in search of knowledge that we already have, really, because theory is quite solid. Nobody doubts that those six particles must exist, because the whole theory falls apart if they don't. And the whole theory has been supported, verified many other ways. We don't need to verify this thing. This is just foolhardy to take such an iffy chance and waste so much money.
Well, and it could create a black hole too, right?
You know, those are just the biggest imaginations. I could go hours in my crusade against this kind of boondoggle, but you know what?
Well, let's take this final break, Doctor, and we'll come back with some more phone calls with you. Final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM as we talk with Dr. Amit Goswami about his latest work, of course, How Quantum Activism Can Save Civilization. We'll be right back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Michael Elishan joins us. Prepare for the landings. Guess what that's all about? Should be a classic Coast to Coast program. Hey, by the way, there's that possibility that you could be in a new television pilot program. The Fonz, Henry Winkler, is putting on a program, and he wants our help to work with him, and we are. So what he's looking for, Coast to Coast listeners who have gotten stories of monster sightings, ghost encounters, alien abductions, information at coasttocoastam.com on the highlights section. Send the email along with any supporting information like photos, video, audio to fantasticstories32. That's the number 32. fantasticstories32 at yahoo.com. And again, more information on all this at coasttocoastam.com under our highlight reel there that just revolves. And who knows, you could be in a pilot. Should be fun. We'll come back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with our guest, Dr. Amit Goswami, on Coast to Coast AM. What kind of intelligence is behind all of this, Doctor, out there in the universe?
Well, that's what one likes to call the divine intelligence. Yes. You can also call it supramental intelligence. But it really goes even beyond of what we can think of supramental intelligence. Supramental intelligence is really a capacity to access the domain of the archetypal values, love, beauty, justice, goodness, truth, all that, in an easy without effort way. God's intelligence goes even beyond that because God is wholeness. There is no boundary in God. So God contains all possibilities in the ultimate state of consciousness. That is the ultimate intelligence. This is why tradition sometimes use those very superlative adjectives like omniscient, omnipotent. In that state, there is omniscience because all is known, past, present, future exist together. In that state, there is only perfection. Therefore, omnipotency is there. So, you know, this is supreme intelligence. You cannot go imagine anything beyond that.
So what's the difference between a physicist and a theoretical physicist?
The last experiment, I'll tell you, this is true. The last experiment I did in the laboratory was in graduate school, and the final exam, I graduated from Calcutta University, and I took, after my master's degree, we had to go through, before the PhD, we had to go through a post-master's 1-year graduate courses, and that had laboratory. And, I was very blessed. I felt myself to be very blessed to pass those laboratory exams. I mean, this is the toughest thing for a theorist. And after I did that, I said, never again am I going to set foot in a laboratory.
Did your father know Gandhi?
No, actually, my mother was the Gandhi supporter. She even went to jail.
Really?
Yeah.
Supporting him, huh?
Supporting it. My father was more of the spiritual kind. I mean, he was a teacher, school teacher in his, that's how he earned his living. But on the side, he was always traveling and giving counsels. He was a sort of a family spiritual teacher. So he had some families that he consulted spiritually, helped spiritually on a regular basis.
All right, back to the phones we go. This will go by quickly. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Brett, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. My question is for Dr. Atmat Goswami.
Uh-huh.
Is basically how human sexuality and sexual energy basically affect or, you know, hinders or complements the science of quantum activism and the disconnectivity.
You know, I discussed this subject in great details in this new book, How Quantum Activism Can Save Civilization. I recommend that you read this, but very briefly, I think that, you know, we are still living in such a way that it's almost like we came out of the Victorian era. And then, of course, playboy mentality for a while is quite natural because we just came out of tremendous suppression. But those days are long gone. Now we have to recognize that overindulgence in sexuality is experienced as a negative emotional to most people. So negative emotions take you away from divinity, from the wholeness, and take you away from creativity. We have to convert those energies. Even Freud talked about it, sublimation. So I have suggested in this book a definite course of action that we can take where instead of indulging into sex for power, sex for domination of a partner, we look for sex for love. Sexuality can also raise the energy to the heart chakra.
Sex for love? What's that? No, kidding.
We just wait for the partner who will automatically raise energy into the heart chakra. In other words, if I see a partner and then my heart goes like beep, 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 and it speeds up and I feel warmth in the heart, I feel heartthrob, then that's the right partner to have sex with. But without that heartthrob, I just, control it, and, you know, it's not so hard.
I'm going to start calling you Dr. Phil, Dr. Goswami.
I wouldn't go that far. Dr. Phil is very good in what he does. It requires a lot of training.
So are
I don't
you.
Have it.
So are you. Let's
but
go to...
as a theoretician, I can tell you the what quantum physics is telling us, what this new worldview is telling us. And it really is telling us that moderation is a very good thing. Learning to balance the over-excessive use of sexual energy is a very good thing. Sublimating sexuality is a very good thing. And in particular, converting, transforming sex into love is an excellent thing in society. Our entire society will change if we restore love in relationship.
Let's go to Vicky in Santa Rosa, west of the Rockies. Hey, Vicky, go ahead.
Hi, Georgie. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And, the quantum physics is, like, so cool, such a good subject for you to have on the show. What I was going to ask is I was listening, and he was talking about reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
and then about the little girl that found, you know, some money in the house. And
yeah.
But what I was wondering, how do they know the difference between if it was memories from, like, your parents, you know, in your DNA from your parents, grandparents, or great-great-great-great-grandparents on both sides from, you know, a couple hundred years ago, how would you know the difference?
You know, this mythology about genes have gone, this is a materialist propaganda, that genes can even carry memories about money being stored in a little compartment in a house in the past life. We have become such snacks of materialist beliefs. You know, genes are just instructions for making proteins mostly. A little bit of it goes into regulating and so forth, but mostly they are just instructions for making proteins. To attribute to them such divine powers or reincarnation and our memory is a total mistake. No, there is actually, I can tell you with some assurance, scientific data exists that part of our memory is really non-local. And it is with this non-local memory that reincarnates. So we do not have to revert to very primitive elementary ideas like there is a soul that lives the body and that soul transmigrates from one body to another. We don't need to do such primitive models. Our models are much more sophisticated, backed by solid experimental data. Memory is a very mysterious subject, and brain physiologists do not explain all aspects of memory. Many experiments remain unexplained. All these experiments can be explained by the simple statement that part of what we learn is memorized in a non-local way. It's not localized in the brain. It exists everywhere. So somebody in the future can inherit this particular memory, and that individual can very well be called the reincarnation of the present individual. This is a solidly based theoretical idea and solidly verified by experimental data. Okay?
You know, the more I begin to think about the universe, consciousness, its existence, its formation, I keep coming back to the fact that, yes, I agree wholeheartedly, it is intelligent.
Yes.
It was created.
Yes.
But what I don't understand or figure out is the why and the how. You know, we talked about that right at the outset. It's something that I may never get the answer to.
You know, I do have. I gave you the immediate, very simple answer to why and the how. Why is, of course, to manifest the subtlest of the subtle, namely the archetypes of consciousness, what we find to be valuable, love, beauty, justice, those things that we covet the most, that makes us happy the most. That closes the gap between God and me, because those are called godly qualities. If I can love, many spiritual teachers have said, love is God. So, you know, it is that which is the why of it. How consciousness does it, this is also becoming clear. Consciousness does it lawfully with the use of a science, which, of course, is not just the material level of causation, but also include downward causation by the creative power of God, creative power of quantum consciousness. The combination is wonderful because the material part is needed to create possibilities, downward causation needed to choose from these possibilities the particular experience. Some of it is necessary to maintain status quo or adaptation. Some of it is necessary to take us to the future, evolve a brilliant, purposive future, more and more of this manifestation of these archetypes. This is the how. So we are beginning to understand. I'm not saying by any means that we have figured out the details. We have not. Many, many surprises are waiting for us. But, you know, as I said in the documentary, Quantum Activist, you know, and you should see it for a quick introduction to the subject, and more elaborated in much more in this book, how quantum activism can save civilization, we really do understand a lot of the why and how questions that materialist science is forced to ignore because it basically is based on a very, very poor and incomplete metaphysics.
Okay, let's go to Columbus, Ohio. It's Greg's turn on Coast to Coast. Greg, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George. Hi, Doctor. First of all, I think you're going about things at the wrong way. You're looking at it at a quantum level. You have to look at it more on a biological level. What you were saying earlier was that basically we live in a Milky Way galaxy, which has got at least 200 billion stars, and there's at least 170 billion similar galaxies out there. So what you were saying is that that's alive? Is this true? Is this what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. And
you said it had a consciousness also.
It has consciousness, but it is through us. I'm not saying that galaxies are conscious. That there is a theory like that. There are people who theorize that way. I don't. I don't need to. I am saying that instead of matter being the ground of being, everything is made of consciousness. When you make that hypothesis, you not only can include the material part of the world, but the world becomes a multiverse, which has also the mind, which has also vital energies that we feel, which even has an intuitive compartment that we intuit, the archetypes, the values. So when you do that, then quantum physics comes back in glory. Quantum physics is very subdued in the material dimension. You are right there. I'm not going to come back with you. It's true. Very few things in the macrocosm are quantum in the material domain. But in the domain of thought, in the domain of vital energy, in the domain of intuition, it's all quantum and always quantum. The nature of these subtle bodies is such that quantum movement prevails. And this is where our creativity is. So if we ignore the subtle, as we tend to do, as dazzled we are by the success of materialist science, we are ignoring entire dimensions of our existence. And this is the mistake we have made for the last 60 years for good reasons. You know, we should never complain about the past. The past is what is, what happened. But now it's time to get out of it because finally we are understanding how to include the subtle dimensions, how even to make a new economics based on these inclusions. Any science that is inclusive is better than a science that is exclusive. Just wait another 10 years and wait for all the breakthroughs that are already coming. You know, people are already looking, measurement of subtle energies, giving people the capacity to get early signs of breast cancer for women. This is fact. People are already using for diagnostics, which is so important because if breast cancer is detected early, these women have absolutely no reason to be not to be healed. These are tremendous achievements that we are doing. I am undertaking research under a company in Brazil called Natura, where we will be investigating the vital energy dimensions in everyday things like perfumes, like nutrition. And so, you know, we are making huge progress. Of course, alternative medicine is a huge application of vital energies, these subtle energies. So, you know, please get out of your materialist trade jacket, and the world and you will only be better for it. I guarantee you.
How many people are in that materialistic straitjacket?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. If you count really truthfully, then all religious people, of course, believe in subtle, right? Because religion believes in life after death. How can there be life after death if you ignore the subtle dimensions? So if you count the religious people, then majority of the people still actually believe in consciousness as being the primary reality. But the people in power, those 5% that you were talking about earlier, George, those people are all cynical. I mean, even if they talk about God, they don't really believe in God, because they find that there is more power to be had if their belief is shaken and they are, behave more materialistically. And it is this 5% that are causing havoc. So what we need is to bring the power of democracy, and I'm so happy with internet, because internet is allowing us to bring the power of democracy to bear. And this is very good news. And we will ride this power, we'll become activists, and we will change the world.
Well, that's the way to do it. Doctor, we are running out of time. Do you speak at conferences, anything like that?
Of course. We are going to do a conference in February and at Deepak Chopra's ranch, Chopra Center, a conference of scientists and sages. And I'm giving a workshop at the Open Center in New York City, and then, you know, the other conferences are there planned in the coming months. Look at our website, AmitGoswami.org, www.AmitGoswami.org.
And we've got a link for you at coasttocoastam.com. Doctor, thanks for being on the program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.